Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 27. It's an encouraging chapter, and it says, "In that day, Yahweh will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea." And this very much appears to be the millennial return of Jesus Christ to defeat Satan and bind him for 1,000 years. He will be let loose right at the end of the millennium and then be thrown into the lake of fire. But this is announcing that one day the Messiah is going to come and going to redeem Israel and defeat their enemies. That expression in that day leads us forward to that future day. And it says it again in verse 2, "In that day, a vineyard of delight, sing of it. I, Yahweh, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone damage it. I keep it night and day. I have no wrath." Now, isn't that encouraging? That God Himself is going to be the keeper of His vineyard. He is going to be watering it. And the vine or vineyard usually refers to God's people, Israel, and one day he's going to be with them and he's going to be managing the vine of his people, and he has no wrath. In this day and age, those who have turned away from God and who are under the curse of the law because they did not follow him and now have not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are under the wrath of God because they have not followed him. They have not received his means of forgiveness of sins, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But when he returns and he restores his family, he will have no wrath for his people because they will all be under the Messiah and believing in him. This contrasts, let me just take in verse 4. "I have no wrath. Who would ever give me briars and thorns in the battle? I would step on them. I would burn them completely." Now he's talking about the health of his vineyard. In this very book, in Isaiah chapter 5, he talks about his vineyard again, his people Israel. Let me turn back there, Isaiah 5, verse 1. "Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with choicest vine." And he's talking about how he gave Israel the promised land and he was their God. "He built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he hoped for it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones." And he's talking about how the fact that Israel did not obey him and did not follow him, he did everything he could to start off the Garden of Israel well in the Promised Land, but yet they did not follow his law. They did not follow his ways. And as a result, the vineyard didn't turn out. But one day, God's going to be managing this vineyard himself when he comes and returns. Hallelujah. All right, verse 5, "Or let him rely on my strong defense, and let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me." And I love that, the peace of God. Today we are not under the curse of the law if we believe in Jesus Christ, and God Himself brought us peace through Jesus Christ. In fact, it talks about that in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith," we've been made right by faith, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand." God, we were divided from God because of our forsaking of Him and because of the fact that we did not live obediently to the law. But God brought the solution. He followed the law and brought his son, his only begotten one, to be the final sacrifice for sin according to the law. And now those who believe in Jesus have been made right by the blood of the Lamb, and we've been given peace with God because of what he's done through Jesus. And that, what a glorious thing that is, that we have peace with God. And peace with God is going to be very evident when Jesus Christ returns. Verse 6, "In the days to come, Jacob will take root, Israel will blossom and bud, and they will fill the whole world with produce." It's going to be a glorious time, the millennium. "Like the striking of him who has struck them, as he struck them? Or like the slaughter of those of his who were killed, have they been killed? You contended with them by driving them away, by making them forlorn. With his fierce wind, he has expelled them on the day of the east wind. Therefore, through this, Jacob's iniquity will be atoned for, and this will be the whole fruit of the turning away of his sin. I love all these references that Israel may not have fully understood in this day that Isaiah was sharing them with them. But he's talking about the atonement for sin, which ultimately came through Jesus. When he makes all the altar stones like pulverized chalk stones, when ashram and incense altars will not stand, you know, there's not going to be this false worship in the millennium. For the fortified city is isolated, a haunt forlorn and forsaken like the desert. There the calf will graze, and there it will lie down and feed on its twigs. When its limbs are dry, they are broken off. Women come and light a fire within them, for they are not a people of discernment. Therefore, their maker will not have compassion on them, and their creator will not be gracious to them. And this is the people that have turned away from God, what it'll be happening to them. And it will be in that day, there's that again, in that day, that Yahweh will start his threshing floor from the flowing stream of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered up one by one, O sons of Israel. And it will be in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who are perishing in the land of Assyria, who were banished in the land of Egypt, will come and worship Yahweh in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. And this was to give in that modern day of, or excuse me, in that past day that Isaiah was prophesying this, this was to give them hope that God, even though he was allowing destruction of the Assyrian Empire and eventually the Babylonian Empire, that one day God was going to restore and one day worship would return in that holy mountain at Jerusalem. And that is a day that we're still looking for. You know, Israel, although is back in their land now, they have not had peace and prosperity in their land. They haven't even had all of their land restored. And in a way, they don't deserve that blessing right now, because God brought forth their Messiah in his first advent, Jesus, and they rejected him and turned away from him. But one day when Jesus comes again, Israel that's left will be recognizing their true Messiah, and it's going to be a glorious time for a millennial reign. Well, I love the foreshadowing of the fact that when Jesus comes, everyone's going to be having peace with God in the millennium. There will be no more wrath, and he will have atoned for the sins of all people. He's already done it, but not everyone recognizes him. But by the time the millennium takes full force, we will all be recognizing at that time the fact that Jesus Christ has come again. Oh, what a blessing it is that we have peace with God, that we have atonement for sin, and one day God is going to be gardening his garden, and it will prosper once again. God bless you all.